One warm afternoon in the late 19th century, two middle-aged office clerks met on the same bench of the Boulevard Bourdon in Paris and immediately became the best of friends. Bouvard and Pécuchet, the names Gustave Flaubert gave to his two comic heroes. Bouvard and Pécuchet discovered through their friendship a common purpose, the pursuit of universal knowledge. To achieve this ambitious goal, they attempted to read everything they could find on every branch of human endeavor, and from their readings, cull the most outstanding facts and ideas. Flaubert's death in 1880 put an end to their enterprise, which was in essence endless. But not before the two brave explorers had read their way through many learned volumes on agriculture, literature, animal husbandry, medicine, archaeology, and politics. They would have read astrophysics if they could, always with disappointing results. What Flaubert's two clowns discovered is what we have always known, but seldom believed, that the accumulation of knowledge is not knowledge. The passage read this morning from Paul's letter to the Philippians is one of the finest personal confessions bequeathed to us by antiquity. Perhaps nowhere else in his letters does Paul make so clear and with such force of emotion how vitally important the person of the crucified, risen Christ is to him. Paul is eager to tell us that for him, Christ Jesus has become life itself, the very air he breathes. But before he shares this most personal confession, Paul rather surprisingly presents his curriculum vitae, a resume of heritage and accomplishment meant to impress. Heritage first. Circumcised on the eighth day, that is, born to parents who were meticulous in their devotion. An Israelite by birth, a member of an illustrious nation with a glorious history, of the tribe of Benjamin, that is, a claim to the good qualities of strength, courage, purity, and loyalty which were that tribe's reputation. A Hebrew, born of Hebrews. Whenever I hear this, I am reminded of Margaret Mead's clever remark, "If anthropologists were fish, the one thing they would not notice is the water." A Hebrew, born of Hebrews. That is, Paul did take notice of the great sea of cultural Hellenism and Roman imperialism all around him and was not seduced by their riches or power. Accomplishments second. As to the law, a Pharisee, that is, Paul, was the ideal scholar practitioner, relentless in study and scrupulous in practice. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, not, I tell you, because he was evil, but precisely because he was so good, ardent Paul fought with every means available to him against impurity in the community of faith. As to the righteousness that accrues by means of religious practice, blameless. Paul had earned every last pin for perfect Sunday school attendance. A resume of pedigree and personal accomplishment meant to impress. And it does. But on the other side of his encounter with Christ, Paul comes to revalue everything he was proud of, everything he worked so hard to attain. On the other side of his encounter with Christ, Paul comes to reimagine his entire life. For on the balance sheet of his life, all he had previously counted in the plus column is now transferred into the loss column. Indeed, all his vaunted achievements, Paul now considers nothing more than dung. The NRSV's translation, rubbish, is rubbish. The word is skubala, which means dung, and I can tell you it's actually much more vulgar. Everything he had worked a lifetime for, he now regards as dung compared to one thing, one priceless pearl, gnosis. Gnosis, knowledge, a certain kind of gnosis that surpasses all understanding, the knowledge of Christ Jesus as Lord, as my Lord. The one thing Paul seems not to lose in the transformation he undergoes is the powerful ambition that has always driven him. But now that ambition is baptized and completely refocused. A few years ago, Google announced that it had concluded agreements with several leading research libraries, Harvard, the Bodleian at Oxford, Stanford, the New York Public Library, and all to make a vast percentage of their books available online to researchers who won't have to travel to the libraries or dust their way through endless stacks of paper and ink or build massive piles of books around them which become their good friends. Millions of pages now await online pursuers of knowledge. The practical arguments for such a step are irrefutable, are they not? Quantity, speed, precision, on-demand availability, all no doubt important to the scholar. Bouvard and Pécuchet's ambition is now almost a reality, and all the knowledge in the world seems to be there, flickering behind the silent screen. But not the kind of knowledge that captured Paul, that grasped Paul and transformed him. No, the gnosis that became his driving ambition is utterly experiential. Paul wants us to know that there is only one school in which this priceless knowledge can be formed in us and we in it. A school which is itself a koinonia, a participatory community of all who have been broken by this world's tragic and obscene suffering. Paul no longer cares for the kind of relationship to the world around him that can be gotten through the impressive resume he built. Paul's ambition in Christ is that kind of relationship with God that can only be found only be found through the path Jesus walked, a path he walked straight into the world's pain, straight into the world's pain because he trusted God's promise and presence in that pain, a promise to mend and transform obscenity and death from within. This is the kind of relationship that Paul calls faith. The translation of today's passage we have in the bulletin makes a mess of a crucial moment in Paul's eager confession in verse 10. In verse 10, the translators have supplied the words, "I want," evidently because they wanted to break up Paul's interminably long sentence. But the words, "I want," are not present in the Greek. No, what Paul says he wants in verses 9 and 10 is a right relationship that comes through the faith of Christ. The right relationship that originates in God on the basis of faith. Faith, which is to know Christ, both the power of Christ's resurrection and the koinonia of his sufferings. To know Christ is the faith which is our relationship with God, the priceless knowledge, the pearl of great price, forms us as we so trust God's mighty yes that our chief ambition in life is to stand with those whose lives are ground down in suffering, to stand with and participate and so be transformed. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a koinonia, a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a koinonia, a participation in the body of Christ? The World Encyclopedia, the Universal Library, already exists, says Paul. But it can only be read by faith. The knowledge it imparts can only be acquired by being formed with Jesus deep in the world's pain. Tole, lege, take up and read. In Christ's name. Amen.